السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، والحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم نور قلوبنا، اللهم نور قلوبنا، اللهم نور قلوبنا. الله إذ عليم ويعلم السر وأخفى. سبحان الله، الله يعلم السر وأخفى. He has علم, he has knowledge, he knows that which is sir, hidden, concealed, private, unseen, unheard, imperceptible. يَعْلَمُ السِّرِّ. He knows that. That which exists but is imperceptible by sight or by hearing, or we have a sir ourselves, we have a secret, we hide something, let's say, in our hearts. It is there, but we have not made it manifest through speaking it out. That's a sir also. So Allah says, يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. And that which is even hidden beyond the sir. So what is in our cultures and in our language and in our logic, once we say sir, which means that's it, there is not such a thing as sirr sirr. It's not something hidden of sirr, because sirr is hidden. It's not heard, it's not seen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says He has ilm of that which is even beyond the sirr. And that is, if I harbor a thought and I do not externalize it, that's a sirr. But before the thought comes to my heart or to my mind, as it is forming, and it's not there yet, that's akhfa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows not only the thought inside of us, not only the burst of emotion or of feeling, of love or of fear, of hate or of joy, or of insecurity or anxiety or depression or joy or misery or ridicule inside of us. He knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the thought before it forms, and what it is, and what will it be, and how will it be, and when it will be. يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى, as he says in the Qur'an. That's why some have put it in this way. I'm not sure whether it is a hadith, but it says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَعْلَمُ مَا كَانَ وَمَا يَكُونُ وَمَا لَا يَكُونُ لَوْ كَانَ كيف يكون. سبحانه. Allah has knowledge of that which was, everything and anything in the past. And when we say the past, it's like, you know, this past nanosecond, you know, it's not just last year. Everything. And without, remember, evolution in knowledge, without a notion of knowledge changing with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَعْلَمُ مَا كَانَ وَمَا يَكُونَ, and that which is and that which will be. Because in the Arabic language, يكون تفيد الحاضر والمستقبل, الفعل المضارع للحاضر وللمستقبل. مَا كَانَ وَمَا يَكُونَ. So he knows that which is and will be, present and future, in details, in specifics. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Try to just think about that. And not only that, وَمَا لَا يَكُونَ, and that which will not be, if it were to be, how it would be. Allahu Akbar. وَمَا لَا يَكُونُ لَوْ كَانَ كَيْفَ يَكُونَ. And he has ilm, and he has knowledge of that which will not be, if it were to be, how it would be. Subhanallah. So nothing is hidden for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is concealed for him. Nothing. السر عنده علانية والغيب عنده شهادة. Nothing is hidden. Nothing is unseen. السر عنده علانية. For him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hidden is manifest. السر علانية والغيب شهادة. And that which is unseen is exposed. What does that tell me when I know this? At least intellectually. When Allah is Alim and in such ways as I am learning. The first thing that comes to my qalb is, after awe and reverence and insignificance of what I am and what everything is, that which comes to my heart as a consequence of Al-Alim in this way is security. I don't know about you. Feeling of security. There is nothing of me that escapes him. There is nothing of me that I desire that he doesn't want, that he doesn't know. I'm sorry. There is no pain of mine that he doesn't already know. There is no difficulty of mine that he doesn't already know. There is no future of mine and how I am going to be the next moment and the next hour after this pain that he doesn't know. He knows. Nothing happens, in other words, in this universe and in this world without his knowledge. Everything. My heartbeat, your heartbeat. What X and Y feels about me at any moment, he knows it already. Good or bad. Evil or good. He knows it already. He knows what I will be already. Feeling of security as a believer in quest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows where I am. He knows I want him. He knows I desire him. He knows. Nothing is outside of the domain of his knowledge. There is nothing that occurs in the universe, of the movements of particles to the movements of nations, that he doesn't know. I would be afraid if there is, we're all afraid of the unknown. But there's nothing unknown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I am a abd who wants him. So everything is within his domain of knowledge. And I, the seeker of him, for that, I'm not afraid of anything else except him. Because he knows. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at least in some reports, you know, he says something like, Allahumma innaka ta'lamu makani. Allahumma innaka tara makani. Allahumma innaka tara makani. Wa tasma'u kalami. Wa ta'lamu sirri wa alaniyati. Before asking him, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the course of this text, O Allah, I know that you see my place. You see where I am. Right now, when you are in that dua and alone and wherever you are, Ya Allah, inni a'lamu annaka tara makani. I know that you see me, that you see my place. and that you hear my words, and that you know that which is hidden in me and that which is manifest in me. وَتَعْلَمُ سِرِّي وَعَلَانِيَتِي لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْكَ شَيْءٌ مِّنْ أَمْرِي. Nothing of my matter is hidden from you. That becomes personal, it becomes personalized, interiorized. It has an effect to know and later to know that Allah is Alim. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a lot more that can still be subhanAllah has learned through reflections on any of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this one is Al-Alim. And next I would like to share some reflections with you on the beautiful name of Al-Wahid, and I hope I have time to do at least one more, but we can stay with Al-Wahid for all time. Al-Wahid, 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 subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one, the one, Al-Wahid, Al-Wahid. Laysa kamithlihi shay. He subhanahu wa ta'ala, being one, is not shared by any of his creation. And again, I don't have, I think, said that before, the only wahid is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only one, the only one who is truly one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every sense. In every sense. Remember, as these same attributes that we are learning about, every one of his attributes that we are learning about, he is one in every one of those attributes. There is nothing and no one like the like of him in that attribute. Number two, was it yesterday that I think I did say, no one of us here is one. We're one, but we're not one. See, how many watches are there on this table? One watch. How many pens are there on this table? One pen. How many chairs are between you two? One chair. How many rooms are in here? In this? One room. How many suns are there in our solar system? One sun. How many earths are there in our solar system? One earth. And so on. But subhanAllah, even in that physical sense, we are not one, as you know. Because we're made of multiple ones. Each one of those ones is not one. Each one of those ones is not one. We're still in research. We're still trying to divide matter, to break matter. We don't know how far it goes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imagine that in his that subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, imperceptible, he is one. Think about that. To lead the qalb to submission. To lead the qalb to prostration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. And the fact that He is one subhanahu wa ta'ala has many consequences. And again, the consequence of peace and of serenity of the hearts is also due to the fact of His attribute being the one. And how is that? This is how I view it. And one would experience that, subhanAllah. When you go to the mall, sometimes, wal-iyadu billah, do you like to go to the mall? I don't really. I really don't. If I have to go to a superstore or to a shopping center to buy, I just wished I'd never been there. And I really feel spiritually weak, spiritually hurt, wounded. I feel terrible. I have to leave as soon as possible. My state inside of me changes to turbulence, from peace to turbulence. This was not like that always. Now, when you go to the mall also, you know that everything, something that is that we all share in common, is you get tired physically, don't you? You get tired physically. Why do we get tired physically? Especially if you didn't do much, just walking. Just walking. You really didn't buy anything, or you didn't jog, you did the hard work. You're just walking. And you get tired. Not only your legs or so, but you feel tired. Your eyes feel tired, right? Your brain feels tired. And that's subhanAllah, if you notice, we would know this if we were in the same place or in a similar place, but that place were completely empty. If that place were completely empty and you'd be walking there for the same amount of time, you would not get tired or that tired. So the answer is the presence of objects that you are looking at with your physical eye and you're listening to with your physical ears. And you are also absorbing, consequently, with your thoughts, your mind. And there are many of them. There are many, many of them. And note also, if in that mall you had only one tree, just one tree, and you keep looking at that tree, going, passing around and looking at that tree, will you get that tired? No. Ultimately, we'll get some tired of looking at that tree, but not as tired as when there were so many things to look at with your physical eyes, your physical ears, and your interaction with it mentally. So we get tired because of those connections, that we build, that we make by looking at things and hearing things. We attach ourselves to those mentally and physically, and we get tired. My heart gets tired. And the fatigue of the heart is its agitation, its restlessness, its anxiety, its lack of peace, its turbulence inside, the bursts I don't want, gets tired when the eyes of my heart are looking at many. The ears of my heart are looking and listening, looking at and listening to many things and sounds. My heart gets tired. It's not at peace. And all the attachments I have in my heart, and that's how what my heart sees and what my heart hears, the attachments I have for things, the love I have for X and Y and Z and A and B and C things, The fear I have from certain things, all of those are different types of attachments of my heart to to those things. And that is, my eyes of my heart are looking at so many things. My heart gets tired. But if my heart is emptied like that mall, if my heart is completely emptied with no attachments, with no bursts of desire and fear for things that are many, many. By the way, to me, even one human being, if my heart is attached to only one, there is nothing, nothing, nothing in my heart except one human being. That one is many. Because at the spiritual level, my heart sees many, and nothing and no one is one. Do you see? Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah is in the qalb, then the qalb sees only truly and absolutely one. And therefore it is addressed. Al-Wahid. And thus, Tawheed of Allah. And Tawheed is the dynamic act of ultimately seeing with the heart nothing and no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that any other sight by the qalb of anything or anyone, in order for it to not disturb the peace of the qalb so graced and so given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that that which is in the qalb is by Allah. By Allah, not by me, not by my nafs. That is, if I have hope, or if I rather love something, I love by Allah. By, not just for Allah. By Allah. By Allah is a more profound level than for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, as human beings, we all, as human beings, or most of human beings, have some of that attachment, some of that presence of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for most human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not demand that we have nothing in our qulub except Him. That is an exalted state. That's why in Jannah there are different levels. Out of His rahmah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for His ibad, He permitted certain of those things as long as they do not lead to the violation of the external norms of Sharia. Do we understand that? But do you see this beautiful point of Al-Wahid and of Tawheed? And the ultimate Tawheed, as the ulama, arhamahullah ta'ala, al-alimun, al-arifun, say, the ultimate Tawheed is when inside of your qalb sees nothing in love, in fear, in hope, in benefit, in harm, in exaltation, in debasement, in giving, in taking. Your qalb sees and witnesses nothing except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the ultimate Tawheed. That your qalb wills only what Allah wills. Your qalb has no more will except what Allah wills. Can you imagine that? That every burst of my heart, every want, every desire, every will, every fear, every hope, every burst in my heart, that is at the origin of any action, of any word, all of it is by Allah. All of it is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the ultimate state or described by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that hadith Qudsi, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that Allah says, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بشيء أفضل مما افترضته عليه ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه. فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به، وبصره الذي يبصر به، ويده التي يبطش بها، ورجله التي يمشي بها. ولئن سألني لأعطينه، ولئن استعاذني لأعيذنه. This hadith, the innermost dimension of it is this, and I shall explain in a moment. The abd becomes not anymore an instrument of his own or her own. The abd becomes literally, he or she moves and he or she stops by Allah. There is nothing of his own will anymore. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is in hadith, that after the abd does what is mandatory and required by me from him or her, and mashallah attains all of that, and then continues to attempt to be nearer to me by nawafil, by extra ibadat of salah and of dhikr and of sawm and of umrah and of hajj and of sadaqah and of muraqabatul qalb and of sabr and of kaza and so on. All of those, continues to do the extras, not only that which is necessary, not only that which is sunan and sunan mu'akkada, but the extra nawafil. Nawafil in everything. Nawafil of forgiveness is nafila, of charity. Extras. You give up your rights. By the way, he continues or she continues to do that until he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, I become her or his eyesight with which he sees. I become his hearing with which he hears. Do you see that? There is nothing in the qalb of that abd anymore left. Because remember, what we want to see, what we want to hear, what we want to do, what we want to speak, what we want to have, what we want to feel, all generates where? First as a thought, as a will, as a burst inside of us. But inside that qalb of that abd, there is only one, Allah. And therefore there is no will except the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside of that qalb. And that is the ultimate tawheed. That is the ultimate tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that when the abd reaches there, subhanallah, if he or she moves, speaks and feels by Allah, he is in a state of, like one would say, shuhud. That's the light upon light and the light by which to see the innermost light. He's in a state or she's in a state of shuhud, where no word can describe anything. Like that two-dimensional creature attempting to describe the three-dimensional experience to his two-dimensional fellows. And perhaps for some ibad, when they say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that's what they mean. For some ibad, as we look at this subhanAllah progression of shahada, we desire to reach that level. So that ashhadu an la ilaha illallah becomes, when it comes from the mouth of such a person, becomes, because ashhadu in the Arabic language means also what? It means to witness, but it means first to see. It means to see. So when that person says ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, then that person is saying, my qalb sees Allah. My qalb sees nothing and no one except Allah. In uluhiyya, in ubudiyya, and therefore in being, in giving, in taking, in holding, in exalting, in lowering, in love, in fear, in hope. All the human activities of heart, in particular, that has seized nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And note also, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. La ilaha, I see, la ilaha. But we know from the Quran, from the Sunnah, that almost everything created sometimes has been taken as ilah by human beings. Money, power are aliha for many, many human beings. Isn't it true? Oneself becomes an aliha for many human beings. Oneself, one's nafs, and the dictates of the nafs, and the desires of the nafs, and the opinions of the nafs become an aliha because they are loved and obeyed and fulfilled at the expense of Allah's will and Allah's hukm. And therefore, when that such person says, Ashhadu an la ilaha, he clearly or she clearly negates everything from existence in his or her qalb, because everything in existence can be taken, and some have taken some of that as aliha. Allah says to us, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Even the hawa, this intangible thing, this characteristic of the nafs, Allah calls it an ilah. Some have taken it as an ilah, as a god to be worshipped. So the person who says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, there is no ilah, is removing from his or her qalb and his or her mind the presence first of anything. Not in existence, not in wujud, astaghfirullah, but in shuhud. Nothing exists in his or her qalb, not say nothing exists physically. That's an access. But that hadith, the statement says, Ashhadu an la ilaha. There is no shuhud by his qalb of anything anymore except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Wahid. Ultimate state of tawheed. La ilaha, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And some people in their salah, what do they do? Some ibad of their salah. What happens to them? How did we say salah was described? Na'am, mi'raj al-mu'min. The means of transport of the mu'min, the means of ascension of the mu'min. Ascension where? Of course the word where is insignificant, but ascension where? Say it. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mi'raj al-mu'min. With his qalb. Or her qalb. So when the person is in salah, has entered salah, has said Allahu Akbar and all, when every part of that means in its most beautiful inner dimensional aspect, and then at the end of your salah, what are you saying? Before that, Ashhadu and la ilaha illallah. You are there now. Do you know what I mean? Some ibad, in some salah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Do you know what I mean, Ya Munir? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. They have been there. Some ibad. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Their hearts were there. They have seen. Some ibad in salah, Allah gives them the ultimate experience. يرحمك الله. And then we say, when we finish salah, we say, As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum. Do you know what I mean? Yes. But also As-salamu alaykum. You were there and you were with As-salam, and you're telling him next to you or her next to you, As-salamu alaykum. I'm bringing you As-salam from the salam. See that? See the difference? As-salamu alaykum. When the qalb had arrived, had now been in salam, in peace, real peace, mashhood peace, not intellectual peace. If we have intellectual peace, that's alhamdulillah, that's huge. But now this is beyond that. As-salamu alaykum. It's not an intellectual salam anymore. It's the experience of the salam in salah. Because the abd had arrived, had been in shuhud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his qalb has seen. Then he comes and says, As-salamu alaykum. He has been with the salam subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-salam, the peace. And he is As-Salam subhanahu wa ta'ala because he is the Salam, the peace. And if he is the peace, then there is no peace away from him. We're connected to Al-Wahid again. Internalizing Al-Wahid makes us aware of his name, As-Salam. Because of that shuhud of al-wahid, what does it generate? Complete salam. Why? Because you were there. Because your qalb had nothing inside except Allah al-wahid. And that's what it means. You were there. In one. So you are with the salam subhanahu wa ta'ala. For there can be no salam, no peace, away from the source of peace. And he's As-Salam subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he invites to the home of peace, as he says in the Quran, Allahu yad'u ila dari salam. And Allah invites to the home of peace. And if we seek salam away from him subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will never have salam. And salam is not an external state of affairs. Salam is an internal state of the qalb. If I have salam, quote unquote, quietness outside, that doesn't mean I have salam inside. True? If there is no war between two parties or two individuals or two nations, that doesn't mean there is salam. There is no war. And the qulub may be in disarray, in pain, in misery. How many people of many nations who are not at war with any other nation and are committing suicide and are miserable and are miserable in their lives? Are they in peace? No. And other people are at war with other nations. And some people within those nations are at peace within themselves. are at peace within themselves. Who is really at peace then? There is no peace away from the source of peace. As-salam, he is subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, he commands us also that we spread salam amongst us. Ufshu salama baynakum, says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Spread salam amongst you. Spread it. Spread it. And that is at many dimensions. Not only by saying assalamu alaykum to one another, which many times Muslims don't care about, unfortunately. And we're learning that when we do something repetitively at the external level, it is intended to do what? To interiorize that concept in us. To interiorize the concept of salam in us, between us also. And to interiorize it in each one's heart. And to keep reminding me, if I'm truly saying it with focus, that there is a source of salam, and the source of salam is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and away from it, it is only an illusion. And I will attain that salam if my qalb is not in attachment to other than Al-Wahid subhanahu wa ta'ala. The cure of every illness, every psychological illness in particular, is to have only Al-Wahid in your qalb, and therefore you have As-Salam in your qalb. The cure to every anxiety and restlessness and misery and depression and fears and weaknesses, the key to that is Tawheed Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Wallahi Alladhi La Ilaha Illahu, the far away an individual is away with his or her qalb from Tawheed, the more the times he or she will spend in distress, in fear, in anxiety, in agony. Wallahi innahu al-haq. And when challenged by external factors, soon that heart feels anxiety and feels stress and feels insecurity. Wallahi innahu al-haq. And the best cure for those cases is not chemical medication or electric shocks, but reflecting on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming back gradually and steadily to Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us when we finish salah, as we say assalamu alaykum, and what that signifies at different levels and at the deepest level. And then once we say assalamu alaykum, after we seek istighfar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, astaghfirullah 3 times, hopefully truly from our hearts, signifying that, Ya Allah, please forgive me if in this gift of audience that you allowed me with you, I was not as humble and as present as I should have been, or any mistake I might have committed even inadvertently, please forgive me, Ya Allah. Astaghfirullah. 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 And then the person like who was there and the person who was not there, when we say, and then we say what? Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. You know what it means now? Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. It's an affirmation. Ya Allah, you really are, you truly are the peace, and you truly are the source of peace. What does that mean? Right? It means in that salah, that abd had ultimately experienced peace. Truly, sami'ibad. Truly experienced peace, especially as we said, if that person, because of that wahid and tawheed and the shuhud, was with his qalb or her qalb with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the peace. And then you come with that peace and you say to your next brother or sister, I bring you peace. And then you say, Ya Allah, you truly are peace. And you are feeling it at that moment. You still have the remnants of it there. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhal jalal wal ikram. And therefore some ibad want always to be in salah. Wallahi al-azim innahu haqq. Some ibad want always to be in salah because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them of grace in that salah, of shuhud and of nearness to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've heard and you've read some examples. First, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who of course was the subhanallah. Of course, his qalb in salah is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he's sleeping, he's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tanamu aynaya wa la yanamu qalbi. He would say, my eyes sleep, but my heart never does. رِحْنَا بِهَا يَا بِلَال. O Bilal, bring us rest. Call salah, in other words. رِحْنَا بِهَا يَا بِلَال. Bring us rest, O Bilal. Because he knows where he's going to go, his mi'raj, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Some of them, rahimahullah ta'ala, in salah, would, and sometimes even outside of salah, because their ibadah and their focus and their shuhud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their qulub, for some lasts. Allahu Akbar. Some lasts for a while. In one of these instances, two instances I'm going to share with you, and we're going to conclude, inshallah, for this morning's session. Who was he? Some of you may know his name, rahimahullah ta'ala. I forgot his name. La ilaha illallah. He was in the masjid, I think he was in Baghdad somewhere. And he was known for his, subhanallah, for his living with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his own world. And he was in salah in the masjid, some type of doing nafila. And the masjid was huge, and not far from him, part of the masjid, the pillars collapsed. And it was heard outside in the market, and people came running, and they come in, everybody's out, and this man is still in salah. They wait for him to finish, and what happened? Didn't you see? He says, what happened? Really? What happened? The masjid collapsed. No, we're in the souq and we heard it. He was unaware of all of that. For he was in salah. I think it was Utba al-Ghulam who, in this second case, another scholar, rahimahullah ta'ala, of righteousness, They spoke of, could there be such a thing as a person, even in walking and in being regular, would be in complete absorption with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he says to them, yeah, I know someone like that. And then shortly thereafter, Utba al-Ghulam arrived, having come from his house to the place where they were. I think probably it was the masjid. What else do you expect such people to be? So, and then he addressed Utba, the one who told them, I know someone. he says to him, "Yeah, Utbah." Because Utbah's way from his home was through the souq to the masjid, through the souq, through the market, you know, the open market in those days. And he says to him, "Yeah, Utbah, tell me, what did you see on your way?" He says, "I didn't see anything." "I did not see anything." He says, "That's the man I was telling you about." His qalb was somewhere else, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dhikr. We have a very an idea about it, because when your heart is preoccupied with something else, you could see things but you don't see it. Your eyes are looking at it, but you don't see it. Isn't it true? That happened to many of you, even when you drive sometimes. Hopefully it doesn't happen often. And you have no idea how you got from 5 minutes ago to now. Miles! You have no idea. You don't remember anything because you are absorbed by some thought. Describe what you see. "I literally didn't see anything." Isn't it true? And so it is with hearing. And take that at the dimension of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's consciousness. Some ibad, graced by this realization of the wahdaniyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, truly don't live outside of that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah gave them many, many gifts and many secrets that they shared with no one at all. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'ah. Allahumma arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinaba. Allahumma tahir qulubana wa zakki anfusana wa nawwir qulubana ya arhamar rahimin ya rabbal alamin. Wa sallallahumma wa sallim wa barik على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.